if you're a PC user in 2020 or 2021, for whatever reasons, we had health issues, we had someone else with health issues, we had job insecurity, we had trying to educate our kids on Zoom school, we like everything went up in the air. So I just assume that there's zero correlation between 2019 prior and 2022 going forward. Tabula rasa, you have a blank slate upon which you can create whatever you want. But it also threw a lot of people into existential angst because they're like, I don't want that, but I don't know what the new this is.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. Thank you guys for coming back week after week. Thank you for emailing me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com, for finding me on LinkedIn and telling me what you like, what you don't like, who you want to hear, and what you know we're interested in. So this week, I have a really, really good friend on the show. Catherine Morgan and I have known each other for 100 years. I'm not even going to say how many years that she and I have known each other for. And we've really, over the years, become fun. She's my editor. I write for her on a monthly basis and for the Carol Roth blog. And we just have a lot of fun. So we're going to get on and we're going to talk about a world in transition. So Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
Hey, you know, you get younger every time I see you.
Except that we both know I had a big birthday recently. I called it the six uh-oh.
The six uh-oh. Well, you know what? I figure every day over 50 is you're on the right side of the world. That's my goal. Is I turned 50 a couple of years ago, and I just looked at it and went, you know what? Life's getting better. Life is just getting better. I don't have the hangups anymore. You know, I prioritize on the right things, and I'm enjoying life far better now than I probably did in my 30s and 40s.
That's predictable. It's called the bell curve of happiness. And you just get good with yourself. You know, here's who I am. Here's what I want. Here's how I'm living my life. Here's my values. If you align with them, great. If not, we're probably not going to talk that much.
Exactly. I said, here I am, warts and all. If you like me, great. If, you know, come on in, I'll give you a great big hug. If not, that's okay too. You know what? Everybody likes who they like. And everybody sits there and goes, yeah, that person's just not my cup of tea. If I wanted everybody to love me, I'd sell ice cream.
That's right. And it is a visceral response. It's a gut response. It's not here in the head.
Yeah, we got to get out of our heads and get into our hearts. And I think that that's probably the best thing to do. And I want to talk about people. I mean, you've been my editor for years for Carol's blog. That's how we first met. But let's get into a little bit about who is Catherine before we start getting into a world of transition, because I'm excited about this conversation.
I'm excited about it too. Well, I am a career transition expert and business consultant to consultants. I've had my own company, Point A to Point B Transitions, Inc., since 2010 was when we were founded. So it's been a while. And I've learned a lot in transition, as did everyone in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, the world changed a little bit in 2021. I don't know what happened, but there was some minor changes that happened in the world, and people's priorities changed, and people's thought process changed. And you know, I was looking at a map the other day of just the state of California, and it showed the exodus of people leaving Northern and Southern California. And you sit there going, wow, that's indicative of something. And you just sit there and go, okay, where are people going? Why are they leaving? And what's this transition really mean, not only for people personally, but for the economy and also for business moving forward? So let's talk about this world in transition. Let's talk about it. What's your thought process? Where are you with this world of transition? What do you see over the last 2 years? And what are the insights that you've gained out of it?
I think that absolutely everyone hit Control-Alt-Delete. If you're a PC user in 2020 or 2021, for whatever reasons, we had health issues, we had someone else with health issues, we had job insecurity, we had trying to educate our kids on Zoom school, we like everything went up in the air. So I just assume that there's zero correlation between 2019 prior and 2022 going forward. Tabula rasa, you have a blank slate upon which you can create whatever you want. But it also threw a lot of people into existential angst because they're like, I don't want that, but I don't know what the new this is. So they're bouncing off what they don't want without a clear goal. I know you're the big goal guy, what they want to move forward to.
No, so I mean, I agree with you. People are running from, not running to. And I think that's a dangerous place to be, that everybody sits and goes, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want to work for this type of leader. I don't want to be part of this organization. I don't want to have these hours. I don't want to have to go to the office 5 days a week. I don't. But very few people are stopping to sit there and say, what do I really want? What is the bucket list?
Exactly. And that's where someone like me can come in very handy. Because if you think about it, you only know your own experience or what somebody close to you, a colleague, a family member, partner has gone through. So you can't see all the possibilities that might be out there. And you might be aware there's a lot of fear mongering on the internet and a bunch of bait clicky headlines. So even things that are actually possible, you may not think are possible, or they're not possible for you. So there's a couple pieces here. You may not be able to see what options are actually available. You might not have done the emotional and spiritual mining it takes to figure out what your right next step is and what you want to create. And you might not even know how to do it or see that you can literally create almost anything you want without, like, there's some parameters. I'm not going to be interviewing celebs on the red carpet. I'm not 22 and a size two. Like that's real. But as far as other things, pretty much anything's possible. People are telling me, well, you know, I can't get a remote job because I'm in this job function. I'm like, here's a list of X number of companies who committed to be 100% remote going forward. They need your job function. Just apply to those companies. Like there's always, you know, I want to reinvent myself. I have 20 years of experience in this. I know this job function. No one's going to take me serious in this. Or I've only been in this industry, but it's in contraction. Or I hate it or whatever. What I am finding with my clients is they can literally create anything they want if they stop and do a ruthlessly honest inventory about what that looks like. They probably won't be able to map their own path there, but with some outside assistance and suggestions, you can create whatever the heck you want to create at whatever age, by the way.
And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that whole age thing, but let's dive into that because people have been doing the same job for 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
I have a client that's 26 years in her job. That's literally pretty much the only thing she's done.
Exactly. So you have people that sit there and say, I'm only qualified to do X because this is all I've done. But how many people are taking the time to actually sit there and say, okay, forget the job title. Never mind the job title. What are the skills that you've learned? What are the relationships that you've built? What are the, you know, what are the things that you've seen and you've done and you've experienced along the way of those 26 years and be able to refocus yourself to sit there and say, look, it's not the job title. It's these experiences I've had and these skills that I've built along the way. And that's what causes me to have real value. Is that what you're trying to say?
That is exactly what I'm trying to say. The image I'm using with people now is we disassemble things and dump the Lego pieces on the table. And then we reassemble them. Do we want to make a dinosaur? Do we want to make a windmill? Like the pieces are there. How we reassemble them, we have choices, we have options. There are different ways to reassemble them. And given the content that you've been creating, Ben, I know you'll agree that it's also important to look at the situations in which you like to work and the type of people and the way you like to work. If you're an independent contributor who wants to sit there with your earbuds in and program or dive into Excel or write or create, do video editing, great. In a very collaborative group think, we do everything together culture, you're going to be like, oh my God, leave me alone. However, if you're an extrovert and love bouncing off people and ideas and planning meetings and strategy sessions and whiteboarding and things, you need people who like to work that way.
Oh, absolutely. I would hate being in one of those, you know, long desks with 15 different monitors and everybody's plugged in. No, people walk into the office at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's silent. Walk out at 5 o'clock and it's silent. You know, it's absolutely silent. I would go nuts.
Yeah. Some people think that's hell. And some people are like, oh my God, sign me up. I could get so much work done in that situation. It just depends. And there's no one right way. Don't vilify yourself if you like it one way or the other. So the combination of that, the skills, what you've done, your industry expertise, Lego pieces, reassemble, and then figure out who the people you like to work with are or how you like to work. Do you want to be remote? Do you want to be hybrid? Do you want to be in the office? Do you want to travel? Do you not want to travel? There's, once again, no right way to work. And everybody thinks, well, I'm not going to be able to get this because I want that. And no, it's all possible. You just have to be very honest with yourself.
I love the Lego analogy. And we'll move on from this in a second, but I absolutely love the Lego analogy because Lego right now has these wall art pieces. We've got the Mickey and Minnie ones on our wall, but there's the Elvis ones, et cetera. And people have come up on the internet and sit there and said, look, they've given you 5,000, 10,000 pieces of Lego. Mickey and Minnie don't have to look like this. Here's an alternative way that Mickey and Minnie could do using those exact same pieces of Lego. So you can either have them facing towards you, you can have them facing away from you, you can have them facing towards each other. There's so many different things. They've done the same thing with Elvis. And it's sitting there going, we have the same pieces. We are the same people that we've always been. But what we can do is we can refocus those skills. We can refocus that conversation. We can refocus how people perceive us based on how we communicate and how we present ourselves. So how do you help people do that? Because that's challenging for a lot of people. A lot of people are sitting there going, well, I'm scared, you know, to make this move. Change is scary for people. How do you get people beyond that really scary, you know, I'm not sure stage to getting to the point where you say, you know what, maybe I can.
Well, change is scary. First, I acknowledge it, because it'll poke its head up. It's scary. But in general, humans don't love change, but we're actually really good with it. We adapt fairly well once you get the initial shove in the butt to get, like, move forward.
That little gentle nudge, yo, going the right direction. The gentle
nudge. So if something's putting a little fire under that butt, that you tend to move forward and you're okay. Once you're in motion, it's a little easier. It's the initial inertia of not getting into motion. So I'd talk about that. It's also important, as we're talking about the fear of moving forward, to tell people that no decision, very few decisions are necessarily end game. Meaning, even if you do something and it's a colossal failure, you can go back and do something else. You can talk to it. You probably won't die. Like, it's not, when you take that off, will you maybe embarrass yourself? Okay. Have you embarrassed yourself in the past? Yes, once or twice. So, you know, it's not, and they think people make it too precious. Like, I have to find my right job that I'm going to stay there for 5 years until I retire, or, you know, whatever your thing is. And that makes the decision so heavy and shuts down creative thinking and exploration, which is crucially important if you're really looking to do something new. The people who don't have a good result are often the ones, well, I've done this, I guess I have to do that, and they don't want to. So we're putting all this information out there. The resume is good, their LinkedIn profile is good, their talking points are good, but they don't want it. So they self-sabotage in some way. They send out stuff with typos. They don't follow up with a recruiter. Why aren't we making any progress? And it's because they don't actually want that. What they really want is to try this other thing that's exciting or interesting or scary. So I have to make sure that what people tell me is actually what they want. When those two are in alignment, I want this, it kind of needs to look like that. I'm a little flexible with this. Okay, we can find that. But if you're telling me you want that and you really don't, it's because your partner's risk averse or you lack the imagination, or you don't think it's possible. So the long-winded answer to your question is exploring possibility, acknowledging fear, not trying to squash it down, but saying, oh, a nice fear. Okay, we're going to move on. And then looking for your curiosity, your enthusiasm. What gets you excited? I had this great candidate who was a great fit for what he was looking for. And he's like, eh. And we're not making any progress. And he's highly motivated. He's making the calls and stuff. Like, well, what do you waste time on the internet doing? He's like, AI. I am so psyched about how AI is going to revolutionize the customer support process. I'm like, all right, well, why don't we just get you a job with that and stop like wasting our time? And now he's, you know, director of marketing and operations for some AI firm. I guess it's a VP role, but
that's awesome.
Yeah. And remember what you write about this all the time, Ben. So I'm just going to give you a shout out about the importance of affinity, which is hard to quantify. But I tell people, you know, after your minimum money has been met, money doesn't really help that much. Yeah, it's great. We should all get paid as much as we can. But that's not what makes for happiness. It's affinity. Do you more or less like the people you work with? Do you more or less think that your boss has your back? Do you more or less agree with the way your company goes to market and treats customers? Because anything that's out of alignment there makes, it doesn't matter how much they're paying you, it's not going to be enough. You're going to be miserable.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. So let's talk about blue sky and alignment, because the one thing you came up with and thought got me thinking is blue sky thinking. The what if instead of the why not instead of the why? Because there's so many people that don't take the time to sit there and say, I'm passionate about going and looking at stuff on AI. Well, okay, you're never going to be an AI programmer because maybe you just don't have the skill set to be an AI programmer. But if you're a marketer and you're passionate about AI, there's a role for you within AI firms. AI firms desperately need people who can communicate. They need accountants. They need, you know, logistics people. There's all sorts of people that support these absolutely brilliant AI engineers that they desperately need to make these companies roll. And how do you get people to think in the blue sky, what if realm, to get them beyond thinking about, well, I'm an accountant, I should go work for KPMG. Nothing wrong with KPMG, but...
I've worked for KPMG. What you're saying is right. All job functions are needed at all types of companies. When people tell me, I don't have a background in AI, I don't know it, I'm excited about the blockchain, but I'm not a programmer, I'm not a techie or whatever, I say, that's a great place to throw your hat in the ring, because you can't get aced out by somebody who, you need to have somebody with 5 or 10 years of experience in this. It hasn't been around that long. Like, it hasn't been, it has, but it hasn't been, you know, front and center big thing. You're not, anything that's a wild, wild west situation where it's evolving and the industry's changing and they're looking for investments and talking points and go to market, there's a million places to play within that. And if you're interested in that, nobody's that much further ahead for you, but you have to like ambiguity. You know, you have to be honest with yourself and say, am I comfortable in constantly evolving situations? Am I okay building the plane as I fly it? Or do I like to walk into something that's sort of fixed and systems and processes and checklists? And there, once again, no one right way to work. How do you like to work? So if you're comfortable in ambiguity and fast growth and pivoting and stuff, awesome. Throw your hat in the ring. Nobody's that much further ahead of you. But if you don't like change, maybe not the right industries for you.
So how do you get people to be honest with themselves, to realize this is what I really am passionate about, this is what I like, and this is what I don't like? People go, oh, I can live with that. No, I don't want you to live with something. I want you to be passionate about it. I want you to be, you know, I want you to wake up every single morning and this is what you want to do, and be able to allow them to create these checklists of saying, these are the non-negotiables that need to be in place before I'm going to go work for a certain company. How do you get people to really put their feet to the fire and be honest with themselves, to sit there and say, no, if this is what goes on in this company, I don't want to be within 100 miles of this place.
Well, let me do the prequel to that. Sometimes passion isn't the issue. Sometimes somebody just needs a job. They just need to pay the bills. And then their passion gets served with their nonprofit board membership, their work with their spiritual community, their thing. You don't have to, I think we bludgeon people with this, you have to be passionate about your work thing. No, you have bills to pay. So if you want to be passionate and have a career track and invest in it, awesome. If you just want to have a job that pays the bills and you do, you know, some other thing on the side that really juices you, that's fine too. So we'll start there. Now,
but I was more of the caveat of the type of leader that you want to work for, whether there's healthcare benefits, whether there's this type of opportunity for growth, those type of things. You know, I understand not every day is going to be ice cream and lollipops. There's no job in the world that's all ice cream and lollipops.
Well, that's why they call it work and not play, right? So here's what I tell. I set people's expectations. Let's say you're in your genius zone. You're more or less doing stuff you like 75, 80% of the time. And yeah, there's 20, 25% nonsense because guess what? People, companies, all right? But you're mostly in your genius zone doing something that you more or less like. You'll be a fairly happy camper. How do I get people to get real? They have to stream of consciousness, and then I listen for patterns. Because at first they'll say what they think they should say or what they've done in the past, and then we'll start getting to the juicy stuff about, but I really liked this, and this company I got to do this way, and this company I had this kind of a boss, and that was amazing. That changed the trajectory of my life. So I listen to them tell their story, and I pull out the pieces where the energy is excited or grounded, like really confident, or I don't know, it's a visceral feeling as much as the words they're using. They might tell the same stories within our conversation. So I know those are really important stories and there's something that we should pull apart. I also have, you know, for the analytical types, I also have a bunch of worksheets and videos and, you know, a structured process for the people who want more structured versus stream of consciousness. I think a combination of both gets us to the right building blocks.
Right. And, you know, what's going to work for some clients of yours are not going to work for others. Everybody is going to get to where they need to be in a different way. And the more you can be flexible and sit there and say, look, here are some different things that have worked for different people. Let's try this. Does it work for you? Great. If it doesn't work for you, okay, let's try something else.
Here's what one thing I will caution people. Do not immediately drop your price or think you have to go for a title level lower or get into scarcity lack mentality. Because what I found over 12 years is it's harder to get a job at a lower level than it is to get a job at an equivalent level or higher level, because that requires no explanation. Everybody more or less knows why you would make a lateral move or want to go up. They don't understand why you step back. So if there is some compelling reason why you would step back, meaning you don't want to manage people anymore, you want to be an individual contributor, might require a step back, or maybe you can get a side of the org chart strategy job. But that's one place where people are like, oh my God, I can't manage people anymore. And they want to take a detour, or they don't want the 24/7 connectivity because they have a health issue or an elder care issue or a special needs child or something. And they need a little more autonomy and flexibility. They can't be the on-demand thing. It's fine, but just know why you're doing it. But when people go into transition or start thinking about it, they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to get as much money as I was making here, or I'm not going to be able to get a remote. They always go to the I'm not catastrophic. And that's not usually true, but also don't immediately go to the I have to make less money, I'm not going to be taken seriously. That's not helpful either, and mostly not true.
Love it. Let's switch gears a little bit and go back to where we started at the very beginning. Because, you know, you and I are on the right side of 50. You know, we're just ramping up and we're getting to go. But ageism is not always seen as a positive thing within the hiring community. I was at a workshop. It was a fireside chat just before COVID. And there was HR people talking about D&I and all about inclusivity and this, that, the other thing. And it was three women under the age of probably 28 each. They were all blonde, you know, size zeros, sitting on a bench together, having this conversation, and they're all talking about, you know, diversity and inclusion and stuff like that. And I said, well, wait a second here. No offense. You all look exactly the same. You're all of the same generation. You're all female. And he says, how are we dealing with diversity and inclusion? And let's, you know, be honest about it. Older people, if you all look and think the same. So I want to say, how do we get people beyond this thought that you reach a certain age and all of a sudden you're useless anymore? Because it's nonsense.
It's completely nonsense and actually not held out in the statistics. So we have an aging workforce. It's not going away anytime soon. I've seen statistics where there's going to be a 55% boost of people 65 and older in the corporate workforce by 2029, because there just aren't, just the way the numbers of the different generations work, there isn't the replacement in the younger generation. Also, remember, people are living much longer. My stepmother's mom just died at 103 with all her marbles. And her body gave out a little bit at 100 because she got lazy, but she was fine. Okay, now talk to your financial planner and see if you can really retire at 65 or ever. Because what are you going to do with another 40 years? This is what I'm telling people. You have 40 years. That's how much of my career I've had so far. I can have another whole career. My grandmother sold real estate until she was 87. She kept her young and out of doctor's offices. So we've got to just blow up this whole thing. I have had clients come through my practice recently in their 60s. One got hired by a young and fun, picture me doing air quotes, consulting company. He's working with people half his age. He absolutely loves it. He's having the time of his life, getting paid well with world-class benefits, super happy. Another person got a contract job as a marketing director for, you know, a company. Like, it's, age is an issue if you make it an issue. If you want to work for Facebook or something like that, maybe it's problematic if you're, you know, maybe. But mostly it's in your own mind. And then you have to pull out the piece. Is it an age issue or a wage issue? Meaning, is your 10, 20 years of experience worth 10, 20, 50 grand more? In that position, is there some value you bring that makes it worth the company paying you that much more? Because if a junior person could adequately do the role, it is a money decision and not an ageism decision. And you would make the same decision in their place. So applying for the jobs where your gray hair of experience is valuable, your years in the industry, your outside perspective, having worked in multiple industries, your negotiation skills, your judgment skills, your ability to keep a cool head under pressure, your knowledge of confidentiality, like whatever it is that make, especially with organizations running really lean, saying that you can contribute in multiple roles and oversee different things as one person can be the reason that you get picked. But I see a lot of people, Ben, shoot themselves in the foot. And it makes me really, really sad because it's avoidable. If you go in, wait, just one second. If you go in and you're at our experienced side of the spectrum, we have to know that our boss might be 20 years younger than we are. The CEO of the company might be 20 years younger than we are. Our colleague might be 20 years younger than me. I had that happen to me at Deloitte. We ended up being great friends for years, even after we both left the company. Like, if you go in and you're not okay with five generations in the workforce, that's on you. And it's fixable, but you better be okay with it. And you can't come back from an interview and tell me, oh yeah, Catherine, I met with the hiring manager. Like, well, how was it? Nice person, really young. I know how that interview went. And I know you aren't getting a call back because you weren't okay with it. Like, deal.
Well, the perception has to go both ways. It's sitting there going, you're right. If you think, oh my God, I'm going to be working with a bunch of 30-year-olds. My kids are 30 and I can't stand my kids. You're not going to get that job. But if you sit there and say, you know what? These are a bunch of young, incredibly smart, amazing people where I can sit there and be that uncle figure, or that, you know, that almost that father figure that sits there and says, you know what, I've been down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, you're the sage. You can be the go-to person. You can be the one who calms ruffled feathers. Like, but you have to be fine with it, Ben. If you're not fine with it, everybody can read your body language. Another thing older workers do is go in entitled, thinking that they don't have to prove themselves like everybody else. They should be grandfathered out of the evaluation stage. And that doesn't happen. Everybody has to prove themselves.
Exactly. I mean, everybody's got to add value. And I think that a lot of it comes down to how do you communicate the value of who you are at whatever stage you are in your world and own it. You need to own who you are, what you do, why you do it, and be able to say, this is how I add value. And I think that people who can do that, whether they're 22 or 62, are going to be the people that are going to transition well. It's all about adaptability, resilience, and creativity. Those are the key words that I'm seeing over and over in Inc. magazine and Forbes magazine and HBR. Every magazine I'm reading in today is talking about we need workforce that are resilient, creative, and adaptable. And I think that those are skills that are beyond an age.
Exactly. I love what you just said. I'll do a callback to older workers. We've seen a lot. We've had to reinvent ourselves multiple times. Few people are doing better with these things that are getting hurled at us than the more experienced side of the workforce. The younger people who haven't ever been through crazy times like this, well, you know, pandemic aside, but the ups and downs of the job market and the economy and things, we're like, yeah, cyclical. Up, what goes up goes down, goes up again. We're a little more even keel about it. And some people can be running around going, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Well, we've seen five major crises in our lifetime. Yeah, you know, we've seen the 80s, the 90s, when the towers went down in 2000, 2008.
Dot-com bubble.
We've seen it all. We've lived through all these things. We have the scars, the t-shirt, and the video to go with it. And I think that that tapestry enables people to be able to sit there and say, okay, there's something to this. There's something that we're missing within our organization that this person can bring to us. And I think that that is a real big thing that people need to think about when they're applying for jobs, when they're looking for that next opportunity, whether it's coming in as a part-time, you know, chief marketing officer, a CFO, whatever, whether you're doing it on a fractional basis or actually going to go in-house. It's being able to sit there and say, look, these are the talents that I bring to the table. This is why I'm worth you having within your quiver. And I think that there's not enough people out there that are doing that self-evaluation to sit there and say, this truly is my superpower. Forget about the things I do lousy. There's a million things I do horribly well. You don't want me painting your house. You certainly don't want me doing your taxes for you. But that's not what you're hiring me for. You're hiring me to be the person who come in and align your teams and develop that internal strategic communication. That's the superpower that I bring to the table. And you, it's helping people transition. It's owning who you are, owning your strength and realizing this is what makes you valuable and knowing who you're valuable to.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, we'll add in what situation you want to work with, what types of people you want to work with, what kind of manager structure you like. All of those are the pieces that make for a happy person. But I know you're a big proponent of people owning their messaging and telling people or knowing their why and tapping into the organization's why and being able to really talk about it to have a stronger organization.
Hey, Catherine, this has been absolutely phenomenal. I got two last questions I want to ask you before I let you out the door. The first is, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, my website is point A to point B, transitions.com. So they're welcome to check it out. I have unlimited videos and content available on that. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Feel free to connect or follow and let me know if I can help in any way. They're also welcome to download a free copy of my ebook, which is titled Relaunch You, Discovering Your Point B and Embracing Possibility, which gives the details and worksheets and questions that somebody can go through all the things we talked about today. It's a free download. They're welcome to take a look.
No, that's awesome. I'll make sure that all those are in the notes on the yourlivingbrand.live site. Go there. Everything will be there. You'll be able to get in touch with Catherine, download everything. It'll be right there waiting for you. So the last question I ask everybody is, when you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, or you turn off the Zoom meeting, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
My why is all about possibility. Did I spark some kind of new way of thinking about something or some new thought completely? And if I did, my job is done.
Well, you've sparked a great conversation over the last 35 or 40 minutes, Catherine. Thank you for being an amazing guest. And thanks for being a great friend. I look forward to lots of conversations moving forward.
Me too, Ben. Thank you.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?